talking sports in the morning. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
On your Friday morning. It is Pinder and Lombardius coming in hot. Really good insights from John Shannon ahead of the break there just moments ago, Lou. And I think many of us had jumped to that conclusion. Vegas, rubber stamp, Quebec City, they applied, it's a big market, they have a building, rubber stamp. Might not be that simple.
Nope. I don't think it is that simple, and it's not as simple either with, you know, Carolina obviously not headed in the right direction, and, you know, we'll see. I'm all about making sure that the existing franchises are in great shape, and if not, I'd rather see relocation before expansion.
I am with you entirely. The Carolina rumors all surrounding Peter Karmanos, the majority owner there, wanting a major investment into his ownership. The team is not for sale. He wants to hold 51% or at least 51%. And, well, there just hasn't been an appetite for that.
No. Nope.
And I understand that. If someone's asking me for $150 million, I want to have some say on how things are going to get run. I don't want to own a piece of someone else's decisions.
No chance.
So all of a sudden they joined the dubious list that also we would think would include Florida and Arizona in terms of teams that are living close to that line, where if a couple things don't go right, maybe they're not there in 2-3 years. And obviously lease dependent and things like that. I'm exactly with you. Until you have 30 healthy markets, go away with your phase 1, 2, 3 ABC of expansion. Don't need it. Now, I understand they like the money. Who doesn't want to cash checks for $30 million or whatever it is? Well, I suppose it'd be 20. You'd have $1 billion divided by the 30 existing teams. So, yeah, $33 million, something along those lines if you do the math. And I'm sure the league will keep some of their own. But I understand how that's incredibly attractive to NHL owners. It's not money you have to share with the players. It goes right into the wallet. And I know, you know, with the way the economy's gone in some of these markets lately, I could see them being very keen on that.
Yes.
But there are teams that are not very healthy right now. They're on life support, and here you are trying to find new members for the club. You should be focusing on the guys on life support, I'd think.
That's my take. That is absolutely my take. Fix what's currently broken before you add the potential of, you know, new problems. And yet, you know, the important thing that I took away, and there were many great things that John had to say in our last segment, and that is, you know, don't do it for the wrong reasons. Don't do it for the, you know, the quick cash grab and quick fix. And, you know, if you're going to go somewhere, you know, really give yourself the best opportunity for long-term viability.
Other pieces of NHL news for you, Lou. We heard earlier from Devin Setoguchi. He's got a tryout with Toronto. That isn't incredibly new news, but what perhaps has finally become public is that Devin went into rehab last April. He is clean. He said he was not last year, despite attempts to be so out of the gate with the Flames. We wish him well in Toronto, but no guarantees. No league minimum, just a straight tryout. Here's a chance, take somebody's job. Elsewhere, Elias Lindholm, the player selected prior to Sean Monahan in the 2013 entry draft, he's got a new extension. $2.5 and $2.9 million, I believe, a two-year contract, a bridge to be sure, and a lot less money than Sean Monahan's going to make this coming summer to be sure, despite being the player that Carolina wanted more than Monahan back in the draft.
Well, Lindholm, who's a pretty good young player, is not Sean Monahan, certainly nowhere near at this point, and all you have to do is look up the stat sheet to have that point proven in a real, real hurry. I mean, Sean Monahan, in his 20-year-old season, second in the league, scored 31 goals and added 31 assists. Those are big numbers by any age and any standard in this day and age.
Yeah, and 50 over 2 years, you can expect his cap hit will make Mr. Lindholm's look quite small and insignificant, as it rightfully should. Elsewhere, some news for the St. Louis Blues. Patrick Berglund, he's undergone surgery. 4 months, they'll reevaluate. That's Christmas time, Lou. That's significant.
Yes, it is. And Patrick Berglund's been a really interesting story, a 2006 first-round pick out of Sweden who I don't know if the word underachieve for me would be the proper one, but, you know, great size, excellent skill, pretty good skater. To this point, hasn't for me lived up at least, you know, production-wise to what I would have thought at this point in time. But again, you know, you lose this player who they moved around center, played a lot at times on the wing last year in that very, very deep St. Louis group. That leaves you in a different place when you miss him. You know, the one thing that I never quite understand, and I know there's always a reason for it, but if this is an indication that he just underwent surgery now, why now?
Yeah.
But there's obviously a reason for it, or they would have done it back in, you know, May, or, you know, at the very latest, June, I would think.
I wonder if this is a year we see a major shift in power in the Central Division. And
do you think so?
Well, I'm wondering, and I'm not suggesting it has to be, but I look, Berglund's not the biggest piece there, but St. Louis is a team in transition. David Backes is their captain. He's a UFA this summer. Do you trade him? Do you let him walk for nothing? Seems to me a team like St. Louis would like to get something back. That's a big move when a team that has been one of the best in the regular season the last 3 years says goodbye to their captain. They've got to hand the reins over to Vladimir Tarasenko and Schwartz and some of these other younger guys. They've also sort of got that pending decision in net between the young guy and the veteran. I don't know where they're at because of just how in flux that roster is over the next little bit here. I also look at Chicago with Patrick Kane. Now, we don't know how this is going to end, and we don't know what happened. Everyone can make a guess, but there's probably less than five people that know exactly what happened right there on planet Earth. So we're not going to try to guess. But
no,
what we do know is one of the potential outcomes is he might not be allowed to play hockey this year. And that added with the loss of Saad, Sharp, Oduya, do you see it as possible? Like, these two teams we've seen as pillars in the Central for so long, maybe they just aren't this year because of the change that potentially could happen to both.
Well, St. Louis is still really, really interesting for me because as someone fortunate enough to, you know, see every single team and see them in person, home and on the road and more than once, as far as I was concerned, that was the toughest out for the Flames all of last year.
For sure. They weren't close in any of the games.
I mean, that is a really, really good hockey team. And yet, you know, they can't get over. They just absolutely can't get over. And that's, you know, the question that Doug Armstrong and company are asking themselves. Why? How come? Do we need a big change? I think you even saw some of it this summer in regards to what some people don't quite understand with Troy Brouwer coming in from Washington and TJ Oshie going the other way. And when I heard about that deal and having some experience with Troy, you know, I'll tell you what it said to me, and that is that, you know, they need more character amongst that group, and that Oshie has never really gotten along with a head coach from what you read and what you hear, and despite his talent, you know, again, and it's a good time for me to probably emphasize this, I'm really married to one statement when it comes to sports, and have been for the last 2 years. I don't think you win with the best players. You win with the right best players. And to me, there's a significant difference. There's a lot of great, talented, you know, people in sports. But that doesn't mean that they know how to necessarily get it done when it matters the most. And it's a hard thing. It's a really, really difficult thing. And unfortunately for the Blues, and you're right, they are in transition because they have some young people, especially up front and on the back for that matter, but more so in the front when you talk about Schwartz and obviously Tarasenko, because, you know, the Backes-led core with Oshie and company, they haven't been able to get over. And at some point, you got to decide why and who and how you change it, don't you?
It'll be fascinating to watch this year, and they're certainly at the top of my list of teams where, you know, I don't want to miss any of this drama. This could be like General Hospital or something along those lines. Hey, Lou, we got a guest in studio here, and we've got sad news for you, my friend.
I know.
Very sad.
It's not good.
Tar Sloan is not longer going to be here on Breakfast Television sharing the same building as us. She's gone, Lou.
I think it stinks.
It's horrible.
Except for this. And I talked about it yesterday, and I'll talk about it again today. I didn't know Tara very well until the summer of 2012, when I had the pleasure for two straight weeks on this very radio station of hosting some special Olympic Games coverage with her. And at that point, I found out about, you know, what people had already been watching and have come to grow and love over the last several years. And that is that this is a very talented, friendly, personable, fun to be around, positive person who has done so well in the morning on the airwaves, did so well last year in hometown hockey, and frankly, has just been a pleasure to be around. So,
oh my goodness, Peter.
That's what I have to say.
I feel the same about you. I am such a huge fan of you. So thank you for your very kind words. This is a tough morning for me.
I've got to tell you.
Yeah, I've, it's 8:16, so I've got less than 45 minutes to go on the air with Breakfast Television.
We've got it in the background here. We normally have the highlights in Sportsnet, but it is a special day for you. They're pulling out all these clips of, like, it's like a best of Sloan show.
Yeah, it's really sweet. It's, you know, it's not too saccharine, which is good because otherwise I think I'd be blubbering all morning. But
that's what we're trying to get you to do.
I am wearing waterproof mascara for a good reason. I'm trying to keep it together. It's been an incredible 5 years.
Now, aside from the stinky men in the Sportsnet 960, the fan studio, so what are you going to miss the most about working in Calgary and this building?
You know, everybody talks about the hours, and yes, it's not easy getting up at 3 a.m., but once our show starts at 5:30 and straight until 9 o'clock, we laugh a lot. And I think the reason that people like to watch our show is because we genuinely like each other. We get along. None of those laughs are forced. We have a really good time. And
well, that's different than what we do here.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
our
exactly.
Our laughs are based on absolutely not liking each other. But so it works both. There's different ways to skin the cat, I guess.
Exactly. Whatever works. So I'm just going to miss the camaraderie. We've all been through a lot together, you know, behind the scenes and on camera. So
what do we know? You're leaving Calgary. You're going to Toronto. We don't know what the job is, but we know the first two things are correct.
I'm leaving Calgary. I'm going to Toronto. I am staying in the Rogers family. That I can tell you. And more will be revealed in the coming weeks.
Now, I heard the Blue Jays are looking for a fourth outfielder.
Really?
I haven't seen you play baseball.
Wow.
But Alex Anthopoulos is a think outside the box guy.
Unprecedented.
Is that? Are you allowed to say that's not it? Or
I'm allowed to say that is not it.
Can you catch fly balls and sing at the same time?
It's been a long time since I tried, but I'm willing.
I know you can do one really well.
I don't know which anymore. It's been a while.
Well, hey, we've always enjoyed you being around here. You're a ray of sunshine in this grumpy little studio here whenever you pop in. So best of luck in the future. I know we'll be seeing you surface on one of the 15,000 Rogers mediums. So best of luck and kick some butt.
Yeah, stay tuned for my new FX show. I'm just kidding.
I don't know what that is, but we own it, I'm sure.
Yeah, we do.
Tune into FX. Next issue. Show me.
I love you guys, by the way. I love you guys.
Even,
and Lubo, I love you. I can't wait to see you wherever it is in, you know, some town somewhere across Canada.
Right back at you.
And as Peter said, just as you came in, you don't always win with the best people. You win with the best right people. You're one of those, Ms. Sloan.
Thanks, dude. I feel the same about you.
It's 8:18. We'll come back. Many people have all sorts of opinions, but at the end of the day, we all wonder what Lou thinks. That coming up next on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Ryan Pinder in the morning, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
A little Foreigner on your Friday morning. Luo's dug deep into the well for the artist of the day. Get your weekend started right. Got to tell you about a good event coming up. We are just, it's the 1 week anniversary of Food Fest, Jay. And if we could get an immensely large round of applause. Thank you, studio audience. And in that same vein of Food in the Morning show, Very excited to tell you about, what we're calling Boomer and Rhett's Sausage Party. Interesting. Don't let your mind wander on this one.
It's a great name.
From the Big Show, we'll be broadcasting live September 17th. Boomer and Rhett taking over Bon Ton Meats, our good buddies.
What?
Greg and the Gang. Yes, I know. Sausage Party. Sounds weird. But a sausage party it is. Listeners, Boomer and Rhett, making their own sausages. I will guarantee one thing, Lubo. This will go better than when Rhett and Boomer tried to brew beer. Because as good as the people are at Wild Rose, when they let those two monkeys get their paws on the big vats of booze, didn't go so well.
Didn't work so well?
The Staples, everyone went to the bar and said, anything but the Rhett and Boomer. The other ones are sensational. The Rhett one was, it was like jalapeno nacho beer. And Boomer's, I think, was they took a Glade car deodorant and dumped it in a vat of beer.
Ugh.
It was vanilla beer. It's like one of those candles. Wasn't good. This will be much better.
I'm sure it will.
Bon Ton Meats up Crowfoot, Calgary's premier supplier of sausage and meats using only the freshest ingredients. September 17th, Boomer and Warner's Sausage Party from Bon Ton Meat Market. Only from Sportsnet 960 The Fan. For more information, head to the website, sportsnet.ca/960. You could be making your own sausage. Yes, skills that you never even knew you had. Lou, I'm curious. I wonder what you think a lot. And I'm glad that when I was gone a few weeks ago and you were filling in on the morning show that we put together a little, I wonder what Lou thinks.
I wonder what Lou thinks.
And all week we've been picking your brain about all kinds of different sports and things that we just, maybe there aren't clear-cut answers on. And so okay. I've got one final edition of, I wonder what Lou thinks for you today.
I wonder what Lou thinks.
Think it needs a few more explosions, or what's your thought on that, Lou?
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm okay. I think it's just, right now, tight. Leave it alone.
It is what it is. I'm not sure it's ever coming back or we'll ever hear it again, so I'm okay with it. I'm also happy to continue with it down the road if, there is a want for it.
Two words, be careful. I think we'll see it again.
Yeah, or one word, be careful. In my case, yes.
But, hey, it depends.
Yes.
Roger Goodell and the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They have found themselves in hot water over the last, since he took over. And the new collective bargaining agreement is a curious one in that any suspensions that are appealed, the appeal is heard by Goodell. So essentially, the guy handing out the sentence, if you appeal, it goes back to the guy that handed out the sentence. It's incredibly flawed. I don't think the PA did a good job on this. It is essentially a dictatorship, despite having a union there. They have no voice in the appeal process. And we've seen this blow up in their face. The Ray Rice thing did not go well. The Ray McDonald thing has not gone well. Numerous players have got themselves into big trouble, and Goodell has not looked good. Where are you on Deflategate now, as it has lasted longer than last year's NFL season?
Well, I wish it would go away.
It has to go away.
I really do. And it will before too long, one way or another. I don't think there's any question about it. There's certainly blame on both sides. And as time goes along, the one thing that I do not like, and I understand, again, unless you are in Roger Goodell's shoes, you have no idea what it's like to deal with that type of power. The NFL is so large, it's not even describable. The amount of money, the billions and billions and billions, multi-billions of dollars that is the business, the National Football League. But I don't like the inconsistency, and I don't like the fact that it seems whichever way the wind blows on a certain day is how things are going to get ruled. And I know why it happens to a certain extent. So you take Deflategate. So all the talk about Roger Goodell being in bed with Robert Kraft. So to me, this is his way of trying to show the world that they're, that's not the case. And the only way to show it is by, delivering this large penalty after, yes, they broke some rules to the tune of 4 games. I don't think so, personally. And that's why these situations continue to occur. I just think, the ones that really, really bother me is, his mishandling of Ray Rice. That one's hard for me to get past.
It's a black mark on the league.
It's awful. And the message is awful. And, you know, the league really, because we all can learn from things that are mishandled, hopefully to handle them better the next time. And I just think, you know, what's really being missed is let's start truly punishing people that need to be punished in the most harsh way. And let's, you know, think about the process a little bit more and come up with penalties that, you know, the best that you can fit the crime.
Moving on to something hockey. Cody Franson is still unsigned, and this is one of the more peculiar situations since July 1st. He was sort of targeted as a top five free agent out there, maybe behind only a couple defensemen in terms of a priority if you needed the defenseman who you'd be looking for. Two names have surfaced in terms of clubs that at least publicly have been linked to Franson. We heard the Bruins general manager saying that he had spoken with Cody Franson, and while he didn't know if Franson would sign with the Bruins because he doesn't know what the other team's offers are, he was hopeful that Franson would become a Bruin, and they do have some cap space now, and with Dougie Hamilton gone, boy, there's a big right-hand shot defenseman. That makes some sense. And now recently, more recently this week, we've heard that the Buffalo Sabres have an offer out there for Cody Franson. Boy, there's some options, but I wonder what Lou thinks.
Well, I am a little bit surprised it's gone on as long as it has. We've talked about it a little in the last couple of weeks in regards to, and, you know, even John touched on it this morning when he joined us about something, you know, not player related, but we are in a time and age in the National Hockey League. And even if you think back to our conversation, probably more importantly, that we heard that Bruce Dobingen did a great interview with Rich Winter, the agent for Mark Giordano and lots of other NHL players, about, you know, teams are just far more careful right now about long-term type deals. And when players get older, it's like, you know, the vice grip gets a lot tighter. And in a cap world where they thought the cap was probably going up closer to 80, and it isn't, and, you know, certainly the Canadian dollar would have some effect on the cap and everything that goes hand-in-hand with all those decisions, you know, I think Cody just found himself in the middle of a difficult situation. I mean, he's not an old player by any stretch, but he's not 22 or 23 anymore either. And what is he? You know, is he for sure a top four type player that you want to go forward with and make a big commitment to? Or, you know, is he somebody that who's a good player, a good citizen, fills a need? I don't think he'd ever hurt any room that he has ever been a part of. And as I said earlier about Cody, I don't think the Nashville scenario did him any favors. I think if things went far better in Nashville after he joined them late last season, especially production-wise, we're having a different conversation. So all of a sudden when, you know, the screws are tightening on situation and salary and on term, and somebody maybe gives you a little bit more reason for doubt, I think that's why we've arrived at where we have with this particular player, who I like a lot and I think could be very helpful to a number of teams in the right situation. And money is not helping him, because there's some teams he could probably help and help a lot who are pretty good teams that don't have the money to afford him.
Not a lot of cap space out there. Very quickly, right. Is there a favorite? Is there a lead horse in your mind where he might fit best or where you think he'll land?
Probably has a lot to do with Boston.
Of course, but
my guess is he could go to Boston for less, and could go to Buffalo and take and, you know, make more and be part of a team on the rise. Or, you know, I guess maybe it's not that different anymore with how Boston is, but I still think Boston's ahead of where Buffalo is today. Now that a year from now might change, so we'll see.
Finally, U.S. Open is going to start soon. The tennis tournament at Flushing Meadows in Queens, and well, our Canadian goddess on the court has struggled of late. I believe Eugenie Bouchard has won four of her last 12 matches or so. It has been pretty ugly. She was cited working with Jimmy Connors on court three, or a practice court at the U.S. Open, as players are getting tuned up. She needs a new coach. She's fired two in the last calendar year. I don't know as much about Jimmy Connors as I imagine you do, but do you see a fit there? And what do you see alleviating Eugenie's issues. I wonder what Lou thinks.
Well, I don't get it to start with. And, you know, this was the great Canadian story, the tennis player on the rise, you know, right in the thick of major championships. And frankly, when she went back to Montreal last year, you know, for the Rogers Cup, it's all gone downhill from there. And, you know, I don't get it. I really don't. Outside of the fact that, you know, she has completely and obviously lost all of her confidence and can't seem to get it back. And listen, the one thing I would say, I don't know her. You know, I've talked to some people who have dealt with her and have some interesting things to say. But Ryan, in sport, in life, when things happen to you really, really fast at a young age and the fame and the fortune and all the attention, you know what? Sometimes it can just be too much. And sometimes you can get caught up in the wrong things. And if your focus gets away on you, and it's human for that to happen, again, you can fall down pretty fast. I just hope for her sake, because I think there's a lot of ability there that she finds it again. But it doesn't look like that's happening anytime soon.
Well, there's another angle to this, too. To be incredibly successful in her life, there's going to be a huge portion of that that comes off the court because of the massive amount of promotional and marketing dollars that she'll get. And I look at someone like Anna Kournikova, who never won a tournament on tour, but would have been way ahead in career earnings total, not just on the court, than many players that won majors because she was such a marketable asset. But one of the things that happens when you're a spokesperson for massive companies that are you know, global institutions that are spending millions of dollars a year for your face to be on things is there's a lot of commitments off the court. And it just might have been too soon in her career for all those off the court commitments because, frankly, she had really, what, a good 12 to 15 months?
Right, and that's what I echoed. The fact that when you get hit with so much at a young age and you're trying to capitalize and you're trying to capitalize on all of it, and now some of your focus goes away from tennis and other things, it can get away on you, and it has gotten away on her. And what has really kind of surprised me, which is why, Ryan, I think your point and my point are good ones, is all they talked about in the year that she did so well is how mentally strong she was, and she didn't let things get to her, and the age and the stage was never too big. And that's why she was going to be the next one, if you will. And yet, like I said, it was, you know, not this summer, but last summer, she got to Montreal, and it's like the whole world collapsed.
Yeah, it'll be intriguing to watch. I hope she can get it back together. It is so good for the sport in this country, and I think you'd agree with that.
Oh, I'm always hoping for the best for Canadian athletes.
8:40. The rest of the 8 o'clock hour getting us to 9 will be completely at the subject of you, the listener. You will chime in at 960-960 on your cell phone. The text line takes us home. And before we get to break, I love the Wonder What Lou Thinks About segment. Lou, I'm going to miss you. So somebody already getting a little nostalgic. First, Tara Sloan leaving us on a Friday. And now, Lou, you're done for the morning show, I believe, for the summer.
Yes, I am.
This is more
you
sad
guys
times.
Know where to find me, right?
Yeah. I wonder what Lou thinks.
8:41. What you want to talk about next on Sportsnet 960 The Fan?
Fan960 Pinder on Twitter. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
.47 on your Friday morning. It is the final day of Pinder and Labardius, the tag team for the final week of August. Boy, it feels crazy to say that, doesn't it, Lou? August almost over. My goodness.
Yeah, where has the summer gone?
And next thing you know, it'll be Penticton and that into main camp and that into the preseason. And all of a sudden, it'll be the Vancouver Canucks home and home to start the regular season. I cannot wait. When do you get back to town, sir?
I am back in the neighborhood of September 8th or 9th.
All right. Very good. That's not far away, my friend.
No, it is not.
That is less than 2 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I know.
Cool, man. Here's the story in Calgary today. We should have a high of about 24, 25. Still hazy around town. Sounds like that haze is going to dissipate over the weekend. Whoever's in charge of the rain on the left coast there, good work. Get it going. Apparently it's going to happen this weekend. Like that. 848. Listeners, you have the wheel. It is what you want to talk about till 9.
Talk about.
Talk about.
Talk about.
What you want to talk about with Boomer and Pinder. Brought to you by Varsity Chrysler, home of Calgary's best selection of new and pre-owned vehicles. Go to varsitychrysler.com and shop where Geo shops.
All right, you guys know what's up here. We've been doing this, so I don't know, for a year or so. You have a cell phone? You ever texted anyone? All right, well, instead of putting one of your buddy's names in, just put 960-960. Send a message, and that shows up on a screen in Calgary studio. Very impressive stuff. Hey, Pinder and Lou, do you think Nick Taylor will be the next breakout Canadian on the PGA Tour? Also, what the heck happened to Spieth yesterday? Well, hey, these are actually very good thoughts. The Barclays ongoing. We have not talked much at all about the Barclays. Spieth is worst round in over 3 months, Lou, a four over. And Nick Taylor, your top Canadian, ahead of Graham Dillette, who wasn't great. And I'm trying to think of the other Canadian. I don't know if it was Hearn or somebody else.
Hearn even, I believe Hadwin plus three.
Yeah, okay, so those are the other two. And thoughts on Taylor?
I don't have a lot. Don't profess to know a ton about him outside of where he's from, and I don't just mean the country of Canada. His name seems to come up a lot more as this summer has gone along, so... You know, I leave the golf to you. That's one of your specialties.
Taylor 3 under yesterday,
yes. And he'll tee off. He's two off the lead.
Yeah, he'll tee off later today around the afternoon. Yes, he'll be off at 11:28. So good for him. He's in the mix at the Barclays, and just to be at this tournament this time of year, you got to have a pretty good year going.
Yes, of course, you do.
Won a tournament very early on, if I'm correct. We continue to look at the text. It's what you want to talk about. 960-960. We have some mixed opinions here, Lou.
Sure.
First off, hey, guys, love the shows this week. Thanks so much for doing a great job. And the next text coming in, you guys are Bush.
So that's fine.
The truth's probably somewhere in the middle, hey? Wouldn't you think?
Hey, listen, you know, if you don't understand in this business that you're not winning all the battles, you better luck again.
Hey, Lou. Do you ever think Saskatoon could have an NHL team? Is it big enough a market, Lou?
I don't think so. It's my hometown. Again, I think, you know, when you talk about filling seats, probably some way, somehow, it would work there, and they'd need, you know, the support of the entire province in order to get it done. But again, it's as we discussed this morning, even about Quebec City, which is obviously, you know, larger than Saskatoon. It's way more about, you know, the overall corporate base and money and, you know, television and how it affects other markets that might be in a television area. So I would love to say yes, but at this point, I would probably say no.
And boy, after hearing what John Shannon had to say about Quebec City, I mean, if there's complications in a much bigger market that's already had an NHL team, I think that probably underlines how long the odds would be for a place like Saskatoon to have a franchise, despite it being a great hockey market that we all love.
Certainly. Yes.
What else do we have? There's a ton. I'm trying to keep it on topic, Lou, and clean enough to be on air. What's the scoop with Fur Dog? I think someone wants to know what Michael Furland. Are you hearing anything there?
No, I just continue to hear that talks are ongoing between, you know, his agent Jason Davidson and obviously Mr. Tree Living and Company, and they're working at it. That's what a couple of people have told me even in the last week, that, you know, talks are ongoing and they'd love to nail it down.
Hey, Lou, I love your opinions and wish you could be on the morning show more often. That coming in.
Well, thank you. Maybe we can work on that.
I thought you didn't like waking up early. This was tough on you.
I didn't say I had to be on the whole time.
Well, that's fair, too.
You guys are far too good at what you do in the morning. There's no room for me full-time, I can tell you that.
I would agree we're good at what we do. I'm just not sure if what we do is that good, if you know what I mean. We'll see. By the way, I think we'll be pretty much back to normal in about 8, 9, 10 days.
Right.
Retro will be back from his half-year vacation or whatever he seems to finagle. And Boom Boom, this is it for him. He's back next week. So buckle up, folks. We'll have our regular Wills in the Morning getting started soon enough. You'll be doing, I imagine, some hits with Patty. We'll be right back into Flames mode. I cannot wait.
Yes, Hockey Central at noon. I'm not exactly sure when that opens up again, but it is not too long. I know that for sure. Last year, it wasn't much after September the 1st. So I'm ready.
All right. Someone texting in, I'm at work, and a coworker just told me that I smell fantastic.
I smell terrific.
Something about it just felt a little bit off. So is smelling fantastic still okay? Or do we, once we've heard terrific, is that the bar from which we will all be measured?
Listen, here's how it works. Be good with yourself. Feel good about yourself. And, you know, if it requires some, you know, nice smelling cologne, there's no issue with that.
Somebody having a friendly bet with a buddy in Edmonton. Gaudreau against Taylor Hall, strictly on a points basis. How many points should he spot me for having Hall and me having Gaudreau? This guy kind of wants a bit of a point spread here. He doesn't think it's even, Steven.
I don't think I would have a sneaking suspicion that, you know, could be pretty tight. Could be very, very tight. I wouldn't give anybody any more than 5 in that race.
Fair. Although, while we were impressed with Gaudreau's line last year, we might be equally impressed with Hall's line this year. If he gets the centerman, I think he might.
And who knows? Only time will tell.
Hey, Lou, will Iggy pot 30 goals this season? That coming in at 960-960.
I never, ever underestimate Jerome McGinley when it comes to putting up numbers. You know he's always going to be in great shape. He can still find the back of the net. You know, it's getting tougher at this point in his career. I wouldn't bet against certainly 25 again. 30 might be pushing it, but he always seems like that's the magic mark for him.
And here's what else. I think it's the exact same conversation we just had about Hall. I mean, who's he playing with? If he gets McKinnon and Landeskog, I like his chances.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Tongue and someone else on the third line, or who knows? There'll be opportunity to score there. I think Colorado will be better. I don't know if they're playoffs, but I think they'll be better than they were last year.
I think they will be better. I think Francois Beauchemin and what he will bring to that defense, and not just him individually, but this is a really, really good player who I think meant the world to some of the growth of the young defensemen in Anaheim, to the point where I was a little surprised that they weren't able to come to a new agreement. So, you know, they've almost got themselves another coach when they've added him.
Somebody requesting some more Gilbert Gottfried. I don't know if we have any on tap there.
Nah. I shouldn't even be on this show. I shouldn't be on this show if I'm working open mic night. I shouldn't be on this show.
That's right.
If I'm selling hot dogs out in the street, if I'm
okay,
homeless.
Okay, we get it.
I shouldn't be on this. No one should be on this show.
No one should be on this show.
I shouldn't even be on this show.
Hey, boys, here's a scary line other teams are going to have to play against this year. Boma, Juris, Ferland. I don't know if those three get paired together. I think Ferland on the left and Boma on the left makes sense. I don't know if the Juris ends up in the middle, but if you wanted to make a scary line out there, Lou, all of a sudden they got some boys that are tough to play against here.
No, they absolutely do. And, I mean, this team in its own way is very, very difficult to play against, and not necessarily just because, you know, they've got people that can knock you out. They just physically hard, skate hard, run you through the end boards if need be. So, yeah, that's an interesting combo. I'm not sure that's going to be an opening day combo, but listen, after what I saw last year, don't bet against anything.
Well, the one thing we know, Bob Hartley identifies very early, and he's quite good at it. I think it's one of his great strengths. Who's going and who's not on a given
Absolutely.
Night.
Absolutely.
And he'll put guys that are going together, even if they haven't played much together. And it works.
He's very good at it.
I don't know if you caught this, Lou, but someone on the text line pointing out that Ryan Callahan has joined Twitter, which is fantastic news. The former
Callahan,
Ranger.
Callahan, who's a kid, I like him, he's a heart and soul-er, but he couldn't score more than 25 or 30 goals in his f***ing lifetime.
The question now, will he stay on
he
Twitter?
He doesn't want to leave.
Doesn't want to leave Twitter. Sounds like
he doesn't get along with Eiserman. What a bunch of that is.
So I just want to thank the texter for pointing out that Callahan's now on Twitter. For
Don't give me this sh-
Thank you, Mr. Esposito.
He's a beauty, isn't he?
He sure is. One
Callahan.
Of my favorites as a kid.
Callahan. Hey, Pinder, is Lou taking over while you change diapers for a couple weeks? If not, he should. Yeah, Lou, do you want to come change diapers when...
No, I've done
that
it.
That wasn't the... Okay, never mind.
No, I have done it. And I'm through that phase. And want no part of it again anytime soon.
Boy, we're getting a lot of texts about hockey. I feel like this is, hey, let's talk some hockey. Another segment that we created a couple weeks ago. Will Carey Price repeat as the Vezina winner? That coming in.
Hey.
Hey! Let's talk some hockey.
It's almost as catchy as I wonder what Lou thinks. Pretty good.
There's some real similarities, I would suggest.
Really? You found that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yes.
Well,
a lot of pyro.
That's right.
In both, or whatever that is.
Yeah, we weren't worried about
I don't
costs.
Think it's out of the question. He's that good. He's that good. It's going to be pretty hard to match the pass campaign, but if I have one game to play... He's right up there for me, I can tell you that.
I don't know who you'd have ahead of him. I really don't. I mean, you could probably put Lundqvist in the same category. Jonathan Quick has not stayed healthy enough for my liking in the last couple of years. 2 years ago, he would have been my guy. Who else is in that conversation?
Well, Pekka Rinne close to that conversation, and fantastic. But I don't think, you know, I would say a small tier maybe behind those other couple of guys. I don't know. He's the guy for me. I know that.
Another quick text coming in regarding hockey. Someone wondering when Gio's contract is up.
Mm-hmm.
How and someone is expecting he'll retire at that point. How will his captaincy be measured against Jerome's? Who will be seen as the better captain over their time in Calgary?
Oh boy, let's let that one play out, shall we?
I'll say this: pretty good start for Gio.
Oh, listen. When you can talk about someone, and I have absolutely no issue doing it, as someone who really takes a team and helps to change its culture, that says a lot about great leadership. He has been fabulous in that role in his first couple of years. I don't know what else you could want. I really don't.
One more hockey question for you, Lou. I've got this is a buddy texting in saying, someone is texting in saying, I have a bet with my buddy. 2 years ago, I took the Leafs, he took the Sabres. Am I in trouble, Lou?
Oof. Well, this is going to be an unbelievable year of watching what happens in Toronto. I mean, you know, the whole dynamic of all the people involved now in that organization. You know, what kind of impact will Mike Babcock have? You know, they've gone in a very different direction and have, you know, taken steps to truly kind of retool and rebuild it in Toronto. And the Sabres, probably right now, depending on how things work out, would be a little bit ahead, I think,
at this point
in time. And yet, you know, in saying that with the Sabres, there's still some players who, you know, you have very, very high hopes for that have to do it consistently at the National Hockey League level. It's one thing to have great billing and great upside. It's another thing to be able to, you know, get it done on a nightly basis in the greatest hockey league in the world.
Yeah, and I still think Toronto's still pulling things apart there. Like, if they get the right offer for Dion, I think they'd do it.
For sure.
I think they still don't know who their long-term netminder is. Their team's going in decidedly opposite directions. It's just a matter of, do these ships pass each other this year, or does Toronto somehow stay ahead of a Buffalo team that hasn't arrived yet? It's a
good
question.
If the question is about this year, you know, who knows? If it's about, you know, what's going to happen down the road, we have found out in Calgary that with the right mix and, you know, the right message and the right person and people carrying out the message, and then adding some very, very good young people and insulating them with the proper veterans, guess what, boys and girls? The world can change in a hurry. So, you know, they have some people in Toronto who know a thing or two, you know, about building some pretty good teams and coaching about as well as you can. So we'll see.
Somebody texting and requesting a big bag of dead deer.
Heads up for a big bag of dead deers.
I've never heard of one of those before, but there you are. A big bag of dead deer, apparently.
Yeah, back-to-back days, and thank goodness I don't have to hear that on Monday.
Hear what, Liv?
Reports of big bags of dead deers.
That.
Okay. Finally, someone's curious about Esposito's health insurance policy. Don't know if we...
dental plan!
Okay. And one more for you, Lou.
Sure.
I hate you, Ryan. You never read a single text from me all week. I can't wait for next Monday. So there it is. People love Lou, and they continue to hate me.
Nah, no, that's not true. They don't like, you know, they don't really like any of us.
That might be the best. Yeah, that's you know, true.
We have the easiest jobs in the world, remember?
Well, the funnest ones, to be sure. And it's been an absolute pleasure this week. I hope the sleep patterns get back to normal. I am incredibly jealous of you being at Rogers Center tonight for what should be a sensational crowd and atmosphere, unlike anything we've seen in the last couple decades. I mean, the last month has been... feels like we might look back in 10 years and say those are the good old days about the last little bit here and what we have in the next few months with the Toronto Blue Jays. Ari Dickey on the mound tonight against former Jay Matt Boyd. He went over on the David Price deal. Your next 3 days, Dickey, Hutchison, Burley against the Detroit Tigers. 5:07 first pitch. We'll have it for you on Sportsnet West. Enjoy the weekend and Sportsnet 960 The Fan, of course. Enjoy the weekend, Lou. It's been a ton of fun this week.
Yeah, you too. Right back at you. And, you know, you get some sleep too, because you're headed for very little, even less than you get now, very shortly.
That is absolutely correct, sir. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, Sportsnet magazine interview focused on David Price. You'll get further into that, as well as a Stampeders report from Matty Rose, as we are just a day away from kickoff between the Blue Bombers and the Stampeders. Have a great weekend, guys. And especially you, Lou. Great job this week. We'll see you when you're back in a couple weeks.
What you want to talk about with Boomer and Pinder, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler, home of Calgary's best selection of new and pre-owned vehicles. Go to varsitychrysler.com and shop where Geo shops.
You're flat-footed.
Big bag of garbage.
A mattress in the left-hand lane.
Zoom, zoom.
Hey, Pat, f*** off.
What a bunch of shit that is.
I shit my pants last night.
I have no shoes on. I'm sorry.
Vodka beep.
Oh, my God.
You have got to be kidding me.
Dead deers.
Thank God no one's listening to this.